when many of you came into the gathering area this morning, you kind of looked around and said, what's going on in here? The gathering area looks different today because we wanted from the very first moment that you walked into church to say something's going on or something different happening. And we wanted it to be very visible right from the beginning. What you see in the gathering area and what you'll hear this morning in this talk is something that began about 3 or 4 years ago with the parish council. With the parish council, a few years ago, I brought up to the council, I said, you know, one of the greatest causes of failure is success. One of the greatest causes of getting a little stagnant is that things were all working well. And I said, I think the parish, after these first 40 years, has kind of settled in and needs a little poke from the Holy Spirit and needs a little jump start to renew, to refresh, to start over, and to see where can we go with the next 40 years so we don't just settle into a pattern, but rebuild who we really are at St. Nicholas. And as we do that, one of the reasons we did it is we started looking around and we said, you know, there's a lot of gray-haired people. There's a lot of people who started the parish 40 years ago who are now 75, 80, 85 years ago. Some of them are gone to be with their God. Some are still with us. And we are so grateful to all those people for their faith and for what they did. That's what prompted all of this. So this morning, as we start a fresh beginning, we want to do two things. We want to look back with gratitude. We have been really blessed as a parish. We've been blessed with a great staff. We've been blessed with people who cooperate extremely well. We've been blessed with people who have been very generous with their time, with their gifts, their energy, their ideas, and so many at the beginning who supported us when we had nothing financially and nothing even to start with. So as we approach a 40th anniversary, we can either look at the 40th and simply say, all right, somewhere around May 16th, the 40th anniversary, we'll have a party. Well, that's good, and we might do that, but I don't know that that's what we're really about. I think it's time now for all of us to say, let's pass the torch. Let's ask the 20s and 30s and 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds, people who weren't here, people who were way too young back then, let's ask them. We need new energy. We need new ideas. We need new commitments. We need new participation. So we were just about ready to deal with all this when the pandemic hit. And the pandemic, as we know, kind of threw a pall over everything. All across the world, not just our parish, but parishes and churches all over the world. If you remember, there were 3 or 4 months we couldn't even open the doors and meet. There would be 3 or 4 of us here for the live stream, and that was it. That's all we could have in church. Then finally, 50 people, then 100 people, then some ropes on every other bench, and finally back, but back even now with masks. We tried to put all that together, though, and say sometimes things like a pandemic we can see as a curse, but they're also an opportunity. And we want to put some of these things together. We want to say it's time for all of us to say to the Holy Spirit, where do you want to lead us for the next 40 years? What are your ideas as our God? Where do you want us to go? Where do you want, who do you need us to be in this community? The second thing we need is to say, all right, let's let this 40th anniversary be a jump start for all of us, not just a party. But then when we come out of COVID, and I guess in some sense we'll never quite come out of it for quite a while, but it looks like there are brighter times in this coming year. And if they are, we don't just want to come out of the pandemic and say, let's get back to normal. Let's get back to where we were. Let's let this death we've been through for the last 2 years lead to a new resurrection, which is always new life, further life, a deeper life, a better way of being God's people. So we said, well, if we're going to do that, let's go back and let's look at 40 years ago. Well, how did we make it work 40 years ago? It is almost a miracle, because 40 years ago, we had absolutely nothing. We had no property, we had no church, we had no rectory, we had no office. The office for the first 6 months was off the front seat of my car in a briefcase, and trying to keep enough records to get going. Then we bought rented a little house over on Washington Street, and it was about to be sold, but we had a few months to at least set a desk or two in there, put out some bulletins, and get things started. Along with having nothing, in 1982, there was a great recession, and money was really tight, and it was one of the major recessions we've had in the past 50 years. And I honestly thought so often, we're going to be the first parish to go in the hole and never get out of the ground. And people said, no, that won't work. That won't happen. But I will tell you, at 4 o'clock in the morning, many mornings, I thought, I don't see how we can make this work in the middle of a recession with nothing. And then we had another problem. The guy who was pastor had never been a pastor before. So I didn't know what a pastor was supposed to do. I didn't know how to be a pastor. I had been an associate. I had been the director of education for 10 years for the diocese, but I had never pastored a parish, and I had no idea where I was going. A lot of prayer at that time. But thank God, so many people stepped forward with commitments, with gifts, with energy, with ideas. People who did know how to build, people who knew how to hire architects, people who knew how to do fund drives, people who knew how to do things. We made it work. And when we built the church, it took us 2.5 years to get property, get architect, get enough money, and build a church. And when we built it 2.5 years later and moved in, it was very scarce, very bare. It was about half the size that it is right now. And no stained glass windows, nothing on the altar wall yet. It was just bare. But the one thing that was wonderful, the people from the very beginning said, we do not exist for ourselves. We are a servant church. And we were $780,000 in debt. It was the biggest debt at that time ever incurred in the Diocese of Belleville by a parish. That very first month, with that kind of debt, we gave away $4,000 to the poor. And I told the people that Christmas, I said, I am more proud of that than anything else we accomplished. So what did we do? There were all these commitments of energy, and people were so committed with their money, so generous to give at that time. The nice thing, though, is this time what we're doing has nothing to do with money. We're not asking for any money other than the general collection. We're simply saying we need new ideas. We need new energy. We need new commitment. We need new participation. One thing I did have when I came as pastor was a solid theological background. I had studied a lot of theology both before and after I was ordained. And I took Father Avery Dulles's Models of the Church. He had just written it a few years earlier. And based on things from the Second Vatican Council, he didn't tell us how to be a parish. He told us how to be the church. And there's a big difference. If we just started with a manual that said, here's how to be a parish, we'd have followed all kinds of little stuff, and we'd have done what every other parish does. We said, now, let's not do that. Let's renew by subtraction. We don't have to do what every other parish has done. We don't have to do that. Let's just do the six foundations of the church well. And Avery Dulles said, we all grew up saying the church was just an institution. We even referred to the institutional church. Well, that is one dimension. We do need a hierarchy. We need pastors. We need parish councils. We need school boards. We need buildings. We need structures. But that's not the church. The church is the people of God. The church is the community. And he taught us that the church is a community of disciples, a community of people who are formed and shaped by the message and the life of Jesus. And then he said, you know, it's also a church that is a servant to the world. It's a church that proclaims the good news in the world, that with all the problems in the world, that God is going to be the victor, that God has won the victory over sin and death, and that at the end, all will be God's and all will be good. He taught us all those things. So we said, let's build these six foundations. So we started with these six committees, because they're what we needed at the beginning. We needed community life, just to bring us together. We needed community service. We needed liturgy and prayer. We needed good, solid, lifelong education. We needed a finance committee so that we could raise funds. We needed a building and grounds committee to get things built and get it taken care of. But that was 40 years ago. That's not where we are now. So this time, when we started as a parish council saying, how do we refresh? How do we renew? How do we get new ideas? We stumbled around for quite a while discussing this at the council. But one of the trustees said to me, she said, you know, Father Bill, you've talked about that early church that 40 years ago. Let's go back to those six foundations. Let's go back to those six principles. How do they apply to us today? Now that we are a community, how do we become more welcoming as a community? More welcoming to new people, new welcoming to the divorced, more welcoming to young people, more welcoming to gay or lesbian people, more welcome to other people, to make sure that everybody feels that they are a son or a daughter of God and belong here. How do we make people who are here feel more welcome by helping them get into the various different groups and things that happen? Then we said, along with being welcoming, we need, what is service today? What does it look like today? What does it mean to be a servant church? Then we said, what does it mean to be a praying church today? Different styles of prayer. Some people like adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. Others like the rosary. Others like contemplative prayer. Others like to be in small prayer groups. Others like classes on how to pray. There's so many things that we still need to do for the dreams of the future. Along with that, our educational programs. We have this wonderful catechesis of the Good Shepherd now, along with the parish school of religion, the Catholic school, the Catholic high schools in our area. We have much, but we have so many more needs and so many different directions to go. Along with welcoming, servant, praying, learning, we also need to be involved. How do we get younger people involved? How do we show people that they're needed, that all of us are needed for the future, that all of us are accountable for making it a strong, loving, caring, and growing parish? And finally, we said, one of the things that we used to call building and grounds was so that it could connect all of us and we had a place to meet. We need to be a connected church. And whether that's through live stream, whether that's through Instagram, whether it's through Facebook, all the other things in social media, or whether it's the connections we make with each other, because there's so many connections to make. Some people in the parish are very progressive. Some are very conservative. Some are very liberal. Some are Republican. Some are Democrat. Some are military. Some civilian. Some have been here 80 years. Some have been here 8 weeks. How do we connect people? How do we talk with each other? How do we have evenings where we respectfully, caringly, joyfully tell our stories of how we grew up and how we ended up believing what we believe? That's how we connect today in very different ways. There's a little booklet that we're completing that is just finishing being printed. All of you would get one of these as you come to the celebrations. So what we'll do is in the next couple weeks. First, I'll walk through this book next week and talk about each of those six foundations, what they mean and what they can mean for us. Then the next week, we'll talk about the celebrations that we want to have. And what we want to do at those is, as we come out of COVID and reconnect to each other, they're small celebrations. There'll be eight of them all through March. And some of them are after masses, some of them are on weekday evenings, some are on weekday mornings, whatever fits people's schedules. And at these celebrations, we're going to get together and talk about the dreams that are in this book. There will be two little booklets just like this. One is a book of dreams. The other will list countless ways that you can make these dreams come true with various commitments. So there's a book of dreams, a book of commitments. And at the receptions and at these celebrations, we want to be grateful for the past. We want to look forward to the future. This week, I want to ask you to do a couple things. For those of you who are following us on live stream this morning, at the end of Mass, right at the end of Mass, don't turn it off. Stay for a minute, and there will be a wonderful little blurb that goes through it, and even those of you who are here might want to see it later. Just a wonderful thing from many young people in the parish inviting people to the receptions. So do that. Also, all of us will get an invitation in the mail to the receptions. It'll look like this. It'll come sometime during this week. And there'll be emails and other ways and phone calls. But we want everybody in the parish to say, let's begin again. I'll end with this. The one conviction, the one thing that is true, 40 years ago and today, we are blessed with so many good people. We are blessed with so many generous people, not just money, but time, energy, ideas. We want to